We present Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo, Patrick Moore, and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, our four panelists are going to pit their wits and their verbal dexterity against each other and see who'll be the winner in this uneven contest. And we welcome back a guest who was so successful in the last series, Patrick Moore, to do battle with our regulars, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams. And as usual, they're going to try and talk for just a minute on some subject that I'll give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. And we'll start the show this week with Derek Nimmo. And Derek, the subject is litter bugs. Litter bugs. Can you talk for just a minute on that, starting now?
I absolutely detest people who chuck rubbish around all over the streets, and I've waged a ceaseless campaign against them over many years. Recently, I was in the Antipodes, and there they have a tremendous procession in Melbourne called Moomba, and they handed out their great plastic bags labelled with "Keep Australia Beautiful" to the assembled crowd. And when the people had dispersed afterwards, they found not only was the rubbish left behind as usual, but also there were the...
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Repetition of rubbish.
Yes, there was a bit too much rubbish there, Derek. And so Clement Freud with a correct challenge gains a point for that, of course, and he takes over the subject, and there are 35 seconds left, and he starts now.
It's a very odd thing, but I really do have a steady compulsion to throw bits of paper out of my car. I'm not at all sure why, but when I drive, say, from London to Birmingham, which I do quite frequently, also to Cambridge, and I eat a sweet, I keep the piece of paper and say...
Patrick Moore has shot.
Repetition of paper.
That's right, yes.
Right.
And if you're talking about litter bugs, you can't have too much paper, can't you? So, Patrick, you have a correct challenge and a point, of course, for that, and there are 16 seconds left on litter bugs, starting now.
Well, we were talking about litter bugs, and I really can't quite understand why Clement Freud started talking about...
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Meditation.
Yes, a rather tough one on a guest who doesn't play as regularly, but we'll give it to you, Derek, because it's correct. And there are 11 seconds left on litter bugs, starting now.
I have an absolutely splendid sow in my farm, and it had recently a litter, which was a quite large one, come to think of it. And unfortunately...
Kenneth Williams has
challenged. She's talking about litter delivered to a... sow? I mean, that's not litter bugs, it's bit deviation.
Well, bugs might be the name of the sow who gave birth to the litter.
No.
You don't know what people are going to say, do you?
No.
I don't think he had really legitimately deviated from the subject he was talking about.
Not legitimately
litter.
Deviated. Litter bugs to do with pigs? You're raving mad. Not deviating. Oh, what to know? What kind of judgment is that?
I don't know. That's probably why I've got the job, because I am raving mad. You'd have to be raving mad to accept the chairmanship of this show. No, I'm going to give Derek the benefit of the doubt and give him 3 more seconds, which is all that's left for litterbug, starting now.
And unfortunately, some of the piglets had...
Patrick has challenged.
Repetition of piglets.
No, I didn't.
He said pig before.
But not piglets.
Not piglets.
A pig and a piglet are the same thing. One is a logical derivation of the other.
That's true. They are a logical derivation, but in just a minute, Patrick, we go by the words that you use and say. It's a speech game. So
I am well aware of that. I was merely trying it on.
Well, that's what the game's all about. They try everything on here, and I have to try and spot it. But I don't give way on that one, Patrick. So Derek has another point, and 3/4 of a second on litter bug, starting now.
Well, lots of bugs on her udder.
Well, when the whistle goes, that tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever's speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and it was on this occasion Derek Nimmo, so I don't need to tell you that he is in the lead at the end of that round. Patrick Moore, will you begin the second round, and the subject is mariners.
Mariners!
No, just a minute. I do, and
it
elderly...
He has said it twice. Does that mean it?
And then it's the same thing. The two mariners.
Yes, mariners, yes. Mariners. I do have to say there are 60 seconds starting now. Clement Freud's challenged.
Hesitation.
You know, I think you're right. Clement, there was a hesitation of 2 seconds, no, 1.5, so you had the subject of mariners, and there are 58.5 seconds left starting now.
I don't know too many mariners, but there was a quite splendid one who played for Plymouth Argyle and was recently sold for the sum of £220,000. To Ipswich, which is in East Anglia, quite near where I live. He comes from Devon, although he considers himself a Cornishman, as do so many people who come from...
Derek Nimmer, a chance.
Repetition of come, but it's a bit hard, wasn't it, really? But you did say come and come from Devon.
Well, all right, but you've given the challenge, and it is correct, so I have to award it. Occasionally, I know we do be sporting, and and overlook these things, but we can't on this occasion because you challenged, and there are 39 seconds for mariners with you, Derek, starting now.
I'm sure Mr. Patrick Moore will recall that glorious day in 1962 when Mariner 2 went within 26,000 miles.
Patrick Moore's challenge.
Misstatement, it was 21,000.
We will not dispute you on a subject like this, so we give you a point for that, and there are...
If you look in Mr. Patrick Moore's book, you'll find that he's wrong.
I'm quite right.
Either in the book or here.
But anyway, you have the subject, Patrick, and there are 30 seconds for mariners starting now.
As I was saying before I was interrupted, there are two...
Derek Nimmer's...
But he hadn't said anything, had he?
Yes, he did say mariners.
No, he didn't, because that was...
He hadn't. Mariners.
No, he didn't start with anything at all. Yes. He started with a hesitation. How I like Mr. Freud. You never interrupted you at all.
You said, you're
get
interrupting
get
now.
You're so used to being bossy, that's what you're talking about.
You come back with all these antipodean manners of shouting people down and interrupting. I interrupted him when he came in with his mariners. He was interrupted. And so he has a point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 27 seconds for mariners, Patrick, starting now.
Mariners are, in fact, at this very moment, delving through space. Two have been on their way to the planet Mars. One has been on its way to Venus, which, of course...
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
I'm afraid on its way it came twice.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid it did go on its way twice, didn't it?
I've got two mariners.
You're allowed to mention the subject, mariners, but not on its way.
Yes, I'm afraid of that.
The subject on the card you can repeat, Patrick. There are 20 seconds left for mariners, Kenneth, starting now.
The world is redolent of mirrors for me. And in Singapore, I stood on a stage and spoke those lines. Ye mariners of England, who guard our native shore. Oh, I can't remember. I was now.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
What did you say, love?
A hesitation after, or was it the...
No, there was no hesitation. He was doing wonderfully well. Oh. Kenneth, you have an incorrect challenge, another point. And there are 7 seconds on mariners starting now.
I was a sea cadet, having ambitions.
Patrick, a challenger.
Definition of sea...
No, you haven't mentioned the sea before.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid he's right. He's got an E.
Of course I'm right.
Of course you're right. He couldn't remember. He couldn't remember whether he said sea or not.
I know, but you could, thank goodness. And there are 4 seconds. So 4.5 seconds left for mariners with you, Patrick, starting now.
Mariners, as I've said before, are...
with your
repetition.
What about mariners?
No,
and as I've said before.
You said I've said before. In...
What a pity.
Yes. So Derek's got 3 seconds left, and the subject's mariners starting now.
A life on the ocean waves, says I.
A petrol away challenge, you.
Ooh, what's the matter with you?
Deviation.
Why?
I don't know.
So, as you said before, Patrick, you're trying every trick, and that one didn't work either. So, there's 1 second left for mariners. There's only 1/2 a second left for mariners, Derek, starting now.
A square-rigged ship.
Well, Derek Nimmer's in fine fettle tonight because he's got a lot of points and he's increased his lead at the end of that round. But Patrick Moore's in second place and Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams are equal in third. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, caring for a frying pan. Will you... It's a very serious subject. It's no laughing matter. If you don't look after your frying pans, you don't live well. And Clement Freud will tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
I suppose caring deeply for a frying pan could be called devious. For which reason?
Ken Williams,
it's not called deep frying.
Well tried, but it's not a good challenge to get you a point. So, The audience laughter then, listeners, was Kenneth giving a little playful peck on the ear to Clement Freud, who sits beside him. Sure, there was no hard feelings. Where was it? On the beard.
It missed the ear.
It missed the ear. Well, I won't say where it hit. There are 55 seconds for caring for a frying pan starting now.
But I presume caring for a frying pan means making sure that it has a maximum of useful life. And by far the best thing to do when you first buy it is to fill it with fat, oil, grease, lard, whatever, and get it to an absolutely, totally hot situation, temperature, if you will, so that the bottom of the frying pan...
With hesitation, I think.
Yes, I think there was before.
Really?
Before.
You mean
it was the hot situation that put him off.
Yes, I know. Yes. It was a very un-Freud remark, wasn't it? there are 34 seconds left for caring for a frying pan. It's with you, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, as our very famous gentleman remarked, if you don't like the heat, you must get out of the kitchen. And he knew all about frying pans. He said he'd come out of them into the fire, apropos our own economic dilemma, in which the IMF, I might add, helped to land us. I could, of course, discuss this at even greater length, but I do realize that I would be accused of deviation. Therefore, I will return to the theme of the frying pan and talk about...
That was a fine example of going round in a circle and coming back to the subject and keeping going. But, Kenneth, you have got another point for speaking when the whistle went, and you have leapt forward, one ahead of Clement Freud, and still in second place with Derek Nimmo in a strong lead. But, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject, MacReady. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
One of the great actor-managers of England, and, incidentally...
Patrick is challenged.
England has never had an actor-manager. It's had a prime minister, but never an actor-manager.
There have been actor-managers.
Not of England.
He says one of the great actor-managers of England.
Exactly. And England has never had an actor-manager.
Oh... So you're challenging for deviation of Graminger. Yeah, in other words, he should... Yes, yes, one of the great English actor-managers.
Yes, exactly.
He wasn't an actor-manager of England. Do you understand? It's a very clever and subtle challenge, but it actually is correct.
One of the great sausage-makers of England.
So I'm afraid I must give it to Patrick and tell him he's 55 and a half seconds for the subject of MacReady starting now.
This is going to be really rather difficult.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation.
No, of course not. 49 and a half seconds, MacReady starting now.
I must confess, I have never heard of MacReady.
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
Well, obviously you shouldn't discuss it. It's
He wasn't going to discuss it. He was going to try and talk about it, even though he hadn't heard of MacReady. Give him a chance, he might. 51 and a half seconds, MacReady, Patrick, starting now.
I gather from Derek that he was, in fact, a sausage manufacturer. Now, my...
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
He wasn't.
But you know.
Because I've just read his biography, that's why.
There's more than one MacReady.
No, there wasn't. There's only one actor-manager MacReady.
Yeah, but he doesn't say of the car, the actor-manager MacReady. He just says MacReady.
I said that Derek said he was a sausage manufacturer, which is an entirely different thing.
Because you're all
I know. Maybe something entirely different.
I don't want to be unfair to anybody on this. I'm going to ask the audience to be the final judges. If you agree with Kenneth's challenge, then you cheer for Kenneth. And if you agree with Patrick's point, which is also a perfectly legitimate one, you boo for him, and you do it all together now. The boos have it. You still have the subject, and you have 47 seconds on MacReady starting now.
I'll return to the fact that MacReady...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of fact. He said in fact in each of his others.
Yes, you did, yes, I'm afraid. Too many facts. 45 seconds are left. MacReady with you, Clement, starting now.
It is significant that in four subjects which we've had to date on this program, two have been footballers, this being the second. Eddie MacReady is currently the manager of Chelsea, having previously been an exceedingly fine practitioner of the noble art of soccer or association, the game I mentioned before. He has spent a very great deal of money keeping together a club which is in appalling debt at the moment, mainly because the managers and directors of Stamford Bridge
Pet Derek, a chance.
No, it isn't a mammon chance.
Yes, I'm afraid there was. And there are 17, no, 16 and a half left for MacReady with you, Derek, starting now.
One of the pictures I greatly treasure within my home was a picture of Sir Henry Irving.
Patrick, no.
It isn't a picture.
When did he say picture before? He just started.
One of the pictures you treasure inside your home is a picture, which of course it was.
No, Patrick.
I'm sorry.
No, don't keep clapping him like that. He may be the guest, but he's not right on this occasion.
I withdraw the challenge.
You can't withdraw. It's too late. You've challenged. You got another point for a wrong challenge. What he actually said was one of the things that I treasure, particularly in my home, is the picture.
Well, I'd assume he meant a picture, is it?
Yes, I know. We know what was going on. And I don't want to dampen your enthusiasm in any way.
It's quite all right. I understand.
But the audience must not be so partisan. 13 seconds for MacReady with you, Derek, starting now.
It's quite difficult to talk about MacReady on this particular program. It's one of the things he was most famous for was his pauses. And, of course, if you do that, or illustrate one within just a minute, you will be immediately buzzed, won't you? But, in fact, he was a great giant amongst men. A giant... Oh,
well, Derek Nimmo, speaking when the whistle went, increased his lead at the end of that round, and I'm only sorry that Kenneth Williams, who knows so much about MacReady, wanted to talk about him, didn't get the subject, lost it so soon. I'm sorry about that, Kenneth, but that's the way it goes.
No, I'm not sorry at all.
I am genuinely very deeply sorry about that. I'd like to have heard you talk about MacReady, because I do know you know a lot about it, but...
Well, I certainly do, and what I know about MacReady is a lot more interesting than the rubbish you were hearing from those two over there, I think.
But the thing is that I have to try and adjudicate in this very difficult game. So, Derek Nimmo, we're back with you to start. The subject's old-time music hall. Don't talk about MacReady. There are 60 seconds on that, starting now.
One of the things about MacReady was he did like going to old-time music halls. And I have a wonderful picture within my home of him sitting there at Wilton's Music Hall, watching...
Clement Freud.
I'm sorry, I didn't
I know, but you did stop him by challenging.
Of course, yes, I mean, let him have several
points.
So
he gets a point because you thought music hall was repetition. It's on the card. Mm. He has it. 50 seconds left. Derek, with you now.
The tremendous atmosphere of old-time musical. Up in the gallery, those lovely ladies down there singing with such courage. You know, Sir Launcelot Olivier, or Lord, as he now is, once said that what destroyed the music hall was that machine over there, the microphone, because it removed the bravery of the characters that perform within it. Somehow, once...
Patrick Moore.
I don't think characters perform inside a microphone.
But I thought
he... Music hall, if you don't listen.
I am listening.
He established quite clearly, at least in my mind, that it was within the music hall.
Yes, he was saying that, don't forget, he said there was a microphone over there and it upset people who perform within it or something.
If you consider...
I think you're in orbit at the moment.
Nick, if you consider that not even his clerk applauded...
What's that?
If you consider that not even his clerk applauded, he must be wrong.
Derek Nimmo, an incorrect challenge, another point to you, 30 seconds left, old-time music hall, starting now.
Murray Lloyd, my old man said, follow the band, don't dilly-dally on the wedge. Remember Dan Leno, of course you don't, with those large feet of his standing on the stage at Drury Lane. My goodness me, it is a gone era. Unfortunately, what we think of today as music hall tends to be a lot of quite elderly performers of great distinction standing on a rather frail stage with the chairman banging a gavel.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of stage.
Yes, you did say stage before. So Clement has a correct challenge, and there are 4 seconds left for old-time music hall starting now.
I can't get my winkle out of it, isn't it, a doer? I can't get it out of it. Anyone here got a skewer?
Those of you who may not be as old as Clement Freud, and there are not many, I must point out to you that is a very famous music hall song. He was not just ad-libbing. Clement, you're moving forward, catching up Patrick Moore in second place, leaving Kenneth behind a little, but Derek Nimmo still in the lead. Patrick Moore, your turn to begin, and the subject is Wagner. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Wagner was a great musician. He was also a man with an inferiority complex, and the reason was simple. One day, when he was very young, somebody came up to him and said, Mr. Wagner, I assume. And from that time on, poor Wagner never knew how his designation should be pronounced. This affected his entire career and resulted at the end of his career...
Dear Miss Roy, shall it?
Repetition of Korea.
Yes, and there are 37 seconds left for Wagner, with you, Clement, starting now.
I'm no great musicologist, and there was no footballer called Wagner, or even Wagner, but I did remember hearing nearly every morning, and quite often repeated in the afternoon, a program about his walk, which was an extraordinary interesting. All sorts of strange people who met.
Derek Nimmer,
I don't think we can arrive. Wagoners walked. He didn't mention Wagoner's walk.
No, he was talking about Wagner's walk. And
you obviously remember the program, didn't you?
And there are 19 seconds left for you, Clement, still with Wagner starting now.
Mozart often remarked on how very strangely Wagner put one leg before the other. And Beethoven, who was, of course, deaf, did on a number of occasions set it to music. B sharp minor was the key that was used predominantly, although C flat.
Derek Nimmer.
Yeah, he's an absolute load of rubbish.
I quite agree. I'm surprised it didn't go on so long. Beethoven setting Wagner's walk to music in C sharp flat. 2 seconds with you, Derek, on Wagner starting now.
Patrick Moore was born on the 4th of March.
Well, Clement Freud is moving forward, having got some more points. He's caught up Patrick Moore. Kenneth Williams has stayed in the same position, and Derek Nimmer is still in a strong lead. Clement, we're back with you to begin. The subject is avoiding answering letters. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I think any member of Parliament who tries to avoid answering letters is a brave man who is presumably not prepared to fight at the next election. To myself, I get a substantial number of letters. I'm most diligent about dictating a reply to each and every one. But I do know that Derek Nimmo, to name but a few, very seldom replies to communications sent to him by whatever means. I can recall one occasion some years ago when I had occasion to put pen to paper.
Kenneth Williams, the chance.
Two occasions?
Yes, there were two occasions. So, Kenneth, you have the subject and you have 30 seconds.
What's the subject?
I'm just about to give it to you. You've been half asleep for 5 minutes and I suddenly want to rush in. Avoiding answering letters, starting now.
This is impossible if you are a man as I am, of conscience and diligence. Now,
Derek Nimmo.
Deviation, isn't.
I think, having worked with him, I know he's diligent and I know he's a man of conscience. I will not accept it on any condition. I tell him to continue with avoiding answering letters with 22 seconds left, starting now.
There is, of course, this method which a friend of mine uses, whereby a printed card is sent saying that the recipient of his missive is ill and in no condition to rise supine from his posture to get to the escritoire, as the French have it.
I'm sorry. Clement Freud challenged before the whistle went.
Well, it was a laughy challenge.
I know it was.
Ha, 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 which is a comparable thing. It could be called repetitive.
You are rotten. You've taken it out of his mouth, haven't you? He was going to say that, weren't you, Clement? Well, you did challenge before
actually.
The whistle. So it is a repetition of ha.
Yes, it is. You're quite right. Mm. Yes,
you. So you have a point for that, Clement, and half a second on voiding answering letters, starting now.
Yes, sir.
So Clement Freud is now catching up at Derek Nimmer, who's still our leader. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject that Ian Messett has brought along for you now is Golconda. Will you talk about that in just a minute, starting now?
All I know is that it's in Hyderabad. It's a deserted city, I'm told, which was once a centre for diamond trading. But, of course, Patrick Moore is the kind of man that would be infinitely more expert on this sort of subject than I am. So I can
Patrick
see...
Moore,
quite wrong. Deviation. I know nothing about diamonds at all.
Oh. Well, I mean, do I know that? So, do I give it to you? If you know, I have to take your word, don't I? We assume people...
No, I'll give it to him. I'll be generous.
Yes.
No, I'll give it to you.
I'll be generous. I'll be generous.
Do you want to give it to him? Who wants it? Kenneth has the subject still. 45 seconds, Golconda, starting now.
Here, the sea with this. Oh, no, I can't.
Derek, you've got Golconda, yes.
All I know is it's in Hyderabad. That's all I know.
Yes. Well, there are 43 seconds. Let's see if Derek can tell us a bit about Golconda, starting now.
The great Nizam of Hyderabad, with all his wealth, which Sultan Tipu came down to try to take from him all those many years ago. Gosh, I was there the other day. I wandered through Jaipur and Udaipur, got the plane down to Bangalore, and went to see, for my first time, this magnificent old ruin of a city. And somehow one would thought of a great Mughal hall coming down from Persia.
Hesitation.
Yes. So Golconda's with you now, Clement, and there are 17 seconds left, starting now.
Golconda, in his heyday, was indeed a center for precious stones and was ruled over by a queen who was called Gut, which is spelled Q-U.
Patrick, tell us.
He hiccuped over Gut.
No, he was just that emphasizing.
That is how you pronounce it.
Oh, I see. You're talking Indian.
It's like Fox Ring.
How do you pronounce Q-U-T-B any differently? Well, I prefer Clement Freud's, I'm sorry. It's less wet. There are 8 seconds with you, Clement, still on Golconda, starting now.
But a filly called Golconda by Gal Cadore, who won the Derby some years ago, is exceedingly fast over soft going about 5-6 furlongs.
I have just received a message that we have no more time. We first of all give a point to Clement Freud for speaking when the whistle went, and let me now tell you what the final score was in this game of just a minute. Well, Kenneth Williams, giving us full value for money, finished in fourth place, but only one. No, he's always good. Only 1 point behind our guest this week, Patrick Moore. He was 4 points behind Clement Freud, who was battling all the time to overtake Derek Nimmer, who gained a commanding lead early on and finished up our winner. So would you now congratulate Derek Nimmer? We do hope that you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again the same time next week. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brough.